casing. It would be the number one case. They would have to award the damages to that. And everybody, or if there's one or two cases in there already, anybody else below that would have to equal. But the judges would, you would have your courts back. Then after the fact, after the amnesty, any judge that were to ever put an admiralty flag up again and not obey your oath would then be qualified for treason. And all of these non-jailable offenses, we could go back into our courts again, make our arguments, and we would have peace. People wouldn't be picking up guns out of frustration. They would be going to be able to take their grievance in the court and talk about it.
So this is court reform.
In major big time, yes. This is about as clean as it gets.
Yeah. Now, the case that you're talking about there, and you referred to the Supreme Court being appellate court.
That's correct.
So then this format would be recommended for any Title 42 suit that we file?
Right. If you guys build your suits based on the guidelines, because these guidelines are 100% procedural, there's no conclusions, there's no presumptions, there are no assumptions, you're addressing only the facts. You cannot take the facts of this pen and take it in front of a jury. But you can take the facts to the jury that I neglected to hold it. And when it fell, it caused an injury. The same thing is true if I held a child in my hand. If I dropped the child, I've got a noun, I, drop, is the verb, the child, and it hits the floor. Well, it's supposed to fall, and it's the floor, it's the point of physics. It's the intent of the action that is supposed to happen. There's no criminal act here. But if I say, without due process of law, I neglected to hold the child, and upon dropping the child, it was my will and intent to hurt the child, now I'm guilty of child abuse, and the whole thing falls into place. And now I get to go to jail for criminal act. It's how you address the situation.
You say without due process, then about anything is true.
Right.
Yeah, and that's why our framers of our Constitution were so very careful to make sure that the process of law was spelled out in the Constitution, and that wasn't quite good enough, so they added in the Bill of Rights in several places, but in just so many words, in the Fourth Amendment and the Fifth Amendment, the due process of law.
Thanks.
So not only do you have to follow the process, or not only is there the process, you have to follow it.
Great.
Dave, when you filed it, the 1,500 cases went out the window. Was it so much you educated the court as to the way it was supposed to be, as much as it is the fact that you uncovered what they knew all along and wasn't revealing to anybody else?
Well, since 1933, common law, nobody's been doing common law. So everybody's been bringing statutory cases in. Now, they don't want to lose their job, so they got to stay busy. So they look busy. But they couldn't take writs of error in because they weren't common law cases. They used statutory cases, and they were done in admiralty. So it's closest to resembling a violation like Wade versus Roe, or the black girl going to a white school, or the black lady that had to sit in the back of the bus and wanted to sit in the front of the bus. These were issues that were absolute common law civil rights violations. They were bad in 1864 and they were bad in 1964, and that's why they were abolished. But everything else along the way there, they went ahead and they had nothing but statutory subject matter cases before them. So to stay busy, they put on a show for the public. For 65 years, they've been putting a show on for the public. In the last 12 pages of this document, in your paperwork, I incorporated the opinions of Black and Douglas from 1966. And what they outlined there was that the lower courts, under color of law, have crowded or covered up the Constitution and not allowed Seventh Amendment jury trial to take place. They obstructed that, and they did it through all kinds of contracts and clever use of words and everything else. What I've done is I've stripped that all away with the treason and perjury vote, and they can't hide behind that anymore. Even the Supreme Court couldn't make the order because no one brought a proper case, and they can't practice law from the bench. They can't create a law as a judge because they are supposed to be the Supreme Court judges, not attorneys at law trying to influence the public below them. It's not their job.
So, after the conclusion of your case, will all these judges be forced to sit at common law exclusively?
Yes. They're going to have to, because if they ever go back in the admiralty, they're guilty of treason. Unless they have a two corporate case before them that requires a statutory violation or a procedural violation on a corporate level due to equity, then they do qualify for a hearing.
That was my question. Now, will we be removed from the statutory jurisdiction?
No, statutory jurisdiction is still proper when within the corporate entity. But when it comes down to human beings, natural human beings, and civil law, that goes up to common law.
But I was speaking in reference to equity, the equity jurisdiction. You know, it's been transposed into statutory. When we go back closer to the equity, jurisdiction, rather than the statutory thing that everyone's being prosecuted illegally under now?
Well, right now, the minute you hear the word, you've been charged with this, you know you're in admiralty. You know they've already violated your rights, and they tend to violate your rights. Because you just have to make the statement with your flag, no matter where you stand, I am a sovereign citizen of the United States of America, small u, this is the flag of my country, and I reserve all my constitutional rights. You can only accuse me, not charge me with anything. Now, 4 weeks ago, on a Monday morning, it was about 9 o'clock, Clinton was being interviewed by a commentator. And in that interview, he said, you know, I was charged with bank fraud, he says, and I proved myself innocent. And the next day they charged me with bank fraud, and I proved myself innocent. And the next day they charged me with bank fraud, and I proved myself innocent. 8 times they charged me with bank fraud, and I proved myself innocent. He says, imagine that. I haven't even been to trial yet. He says, I've been charged. He says, there's something wrong with our judicial system. I says, hey, wake up, buddy. It's your flag. You put it there on your judicial order.
Is the legal profession going to have the foggiest idea of what they're doing anymore when we're finally put back to common law? Do they know how to function under it? I mean, they're so...
Of course they do. They don't went to school.
It doesn't make much difference.
The common law is as complicated as removing the adjectives, adverbs, and pronouns and understanding the conclusions and presumptions and assumptions violate the due process. And that's as hard as it gets. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure it out. That's why common men did common law. When the community got together, they say no from right and wrong. Even in the Indian tribe, they didn't speak English. The tribal laws of American Indians had common law. They practiced the same common law as the United States citizens did, and what the British did, and everybody else did in the world that had common law.
It goes back to the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, common law has always been there. It's where reasonable men get together and they think about what's right and what's wrong. They allow the arguments to take place on both sides, and if no one can make a determination, then they allow battle by combat. Whoever walks away from the thing wins, you know? Already flip a coin.
We're playing golf.
Dave, what type of impact do you think this will have as far as... Us all being
placed
in commerce and the Uniform Commercial Code.
There's nothing wrong with the Uniform Commercial Code.
I know that. But through licensing and regulation, we're all in commerce, and so we're licensed and regulated.
The regulation has to be associated with the will of intent. Any contract produced under UCC 3-501 must establish the will of the intent of the contract, and the will cannot be criminal. The will has to be just. And it has to have be purposeful with knowledge.
With knowledge, yes.
You must establish the knowledge to make the will of the contract binding. If you just make it the intent of the contract to be a deception, then you're going to have your old lemon law car law. Remember the old lemon law? Everybody used to be stuck with lemon? And so they came out with the 72-hour rule? And that's when the UCC 3-501 had its teeth. Because anything that you do, you can undo it in 72 hours. You guys ever close a commercial loan and then go try and pick up the money the day you sign the contract? He starts that stopwatch. You got 72 hours, mister. Come back in 72 hours. And I don't care what 72 hours it is. When that 72 hours goes fast, we'll hand you the paycheck, and you can go do what you want with that money. But under the 72-hour rule, you ain't touching this money. And that goes for when you sell it or buy it. All contracts are floating for 72 hours. Now, the judicial system said, well, we got a lot of lay people here, and there's a lot of discovery. Some of this stuff is forced upon them. We're going to give them a couple extra days. So they gave the five-day rule. You got 5 days to refuse it. But there's a back door in this. The back door is under Title 42, U.S.C. 1986, for knowledge of the law, and FRCP 26E, subsection 2, discovery of the law. If you discovered a fraud took place under FRCP 9B, you can then come back in and crack open that case, submit your new evidence, when there are those three factors, and have a new trial under the Seventh Amendment. That's your formula.
Even though it may have been dismissed at one time.
It could be 20 years old, dismissed with prejudice. Once a fraud, always a fraud, and there's no statute of limitations for fraud. Because if the actions in 1970 destroyed your life, and now it's 1996, 26 years later, and you are still suffering from the loss of that financial, say you cost you $100,000 25 years ago and you never recovered from it, whereas if you had had a beautiful life, had kids, a home, education, the whole nine yards, now you've got 26 years of injury on top of that fraud that was perpetrated, where that individual in 1970 extorted $100,000 and caused it to take place, namely throwing you in jail because they were acting under an equity court and didn't give you a notice of disclaimer as to the intent of what you were walking into and perpetrated a fraud under treason against the Constitution and perjury of oath. And I guarantee you, you will get your new trial because those are very, very strong charges to initiate a 26E subsection 2 discovery cause of action to get a new trial. And this procedure is all substantiated by definition and by procedure.
After the judges are granted amnesty, are you going to be able to go back at that point?
No, if they get granted amnesty, amnesty is amnesty. It'll stop that. But then these are men of good conscience and are going to have to go back and face the public that they've just screwed. And some of these guys have got 100,000 ghosts sitting in their closets. That's a lot of guilt to eat.
What about all those political prisoners that are...
Now, yeah, they're going to have to set up some kind of a tribunal, and every single prisoner in jail is going to have to have his case reviewed and taken apart, and they're going to find out, because of the paper trail perpetrated, they're going to establish all the frauds that took place. And if some people are guilty of, it was the will of intent by design, they're not going to get away with amnesty. Because the people that they're going to let out of jail, especially those that are in there for 20 years...
Million and a half people in jail, that's
going to
cost a lot of
money. Let them out? A lot of them won't take too much, because just let anybody that's sitting in jail for not paying traffic tickets, they just look at, okay, well, that's fraud, sold out. Because it was all extortion in the first place.
It was all extortion and a violation on the contract in the first place.
There are thousands of them that can be processed real quick.
With our computer system today, and that's another miracle of this point in time. You put a 500 megahertz Pentium processor to work, and it can process all these guys in jail in about 15 minutes and come out. You know, with artificial intelligence, because they're not going to let people do this, there's too much prejudice involved. They're going to give me a Pentium processor with a 500 megahertz, and I guarantee you that's about as close to artificial intelligence as you're going to get. Once you put your parameters in there, because this is mathematics here. This is an exact science. And when you get stuff reduced down to mathematics, now you've got an exact science to work from. And you're always going to come up with the same answer.
One thought I have, going back to what you're saying, is it really, there won't be attorneys particularly, someone who represents you, is that what you're saying, in common law?
Well, you can represent yourself, but you'll have the choice of somebody who is learned to speak for you. Well, at this point, no. But when they declare amnesty and they do bring in a common law deal, they're going to have to license attorneys again, but it's going to be to practice in common law. It's going to be a whole different set of rules and regulations. Right. If you want to take, and it's my understanding, now this is based on an opinion of my own, I could become an attorney and represent somebody knowing what I know about law. And that's a reasonable answer. If I took and just pointed at this man at random and said, he's going to defend the guy sitting next to him, and he says, well, I don't have this ability, well, then he won't be qualified. He'll still have to take a test. Any person that this person wants to defend him will have to pass a certain test based on the subject matter before the court. If it requires a certain amount of learning, you know, some subjects don't require you to take 6 years of college. It's only a couple of paragraphs in law that you have to understand. And if they're a reasonable man with a reasonable understanding of knowledge can learn that, because this person is, person number one, is too nervous or intimidated by the whole movement and needs someone to speak for him, then it would become a reasonable request.
So it's going to get attorneys back to be an attorney.
Right, like they used to be.
Well, attorneys originally used to be basically, if I hired you to wash my car, you're an attorney for me, and I have to wash my car. They just went through this, and they've got people saying an attorney means the same thing as a lawyer. If you go back far.
Because
that's the whole problem with the way they've manipulated the word over the last couple hundred years. They've, you know, the original definitions aren't necessarily what they mean now.
Well, yeah, you've seen how they've stricken words from the dictionary from black first to black sixth,
yeah.
Because they have done everything in their power to protect the fraud and make the public think that the Constitution is a dead thing, it's gone completely, and that the only thing that they have to choose from is admiralty.
Yeah, that's like ex post facto on the Lowell Chamber. You got to go back to the first edition to get any more close to the real definition. Because I don't even think
ex
post facto is even in the sixth edition.
There's a lot of things that aren't, like Nombagir isn't in the sixth edition either, isn't in the first. You've got to go to Bouvier's, but Webster's got it.
What
if you find it in Webster's dictionary?
The Supreme Court ruled that third edition Bouvier's would be the definition in all words and any other.
That was, yeah, I think that was 1905 edition, I think that was. That was brought up in discussion at the last seminar.
And then Noah's 1828
would be
the definition in all other words.
Seems like
I read a Supreme Court case that said that.
I believe you're right. I
think
that's correct.
You've mentioned the term several times of well intent, and I still don't understand exactly what that means and how it relates to the case.
Okay. This pen, if I drop it, the intent is gravity will make it fall down. But if I throw it at you, it is the will of my action that caused it to go to you. Because if I released it, it would have went down by another force. The force of gravity would have had to pull it. It was my force that threw it at you. The same thing, if I have the intent to hold the child in my arms, the child will remain safe as long as I hold it. If you come up and hit me in the back and I jump forward like this here and the child falls, it was still the intent that the child would fall and become injured, but it was not my will to become injured because it was an outside force that caused it. It was not my mind that caused the child to drop.
You willfully intended to do
harm. Right, but if I say, well, bang, you know, there, I'm going to throw you down on the floor, it is the will of my, criminal will of my intent to cause the injury to the child. Now I'm liable for that. That's the difference between second-degree murder and first-degree murder. The first-degree murder is the will that the person be injured because you aimed it, pulled the trigger, and caused the injury. If I'm sitting here playing around with a gun and twirling like this and it goes off and it just, whichever direction it was pointed into, that's the person that got struck by the bullet. It was the intent that that bullet hit that person because that's what happens when a gun goes off. But it wasn't your will that caused that bullet to go there and cause that injury. You would be charged with reckless use of a weapon, probably get 5 to 10 years because it did sustain somebody some harm, but it won't send you to the gas chamber and get you hung.
Is it like malice and forethought? I've heard those phrases used before.
Yes.
That's the difference.
Forethought means that you plan to do it, and madness means you were out of your mind when you did it. Malice is the willful intent to cause another harm.
Dave, going back a second, on the Title 42, like when we filed in the federal district court, this thing happens at the Supreme Court, will that make all those suits null and void? They're already filed?
No, and you'll be grandfathered on those. They'll try those, but there'll probably be some really quick negotiations. They're not going to, because they know it's going to go into a...
The Supreme Court has already ruled.
Right, because the Supreme Court's already ruled, they're going to plea bargain it, so you don't have to go up there. But if you want to push the big bucks and gamble on what they want to do and spend, then it might take some years. But if you want it immediately, people always have to run the gambit that between point A and point B in a 2 or 3 year wait for a court that you may sustain an injury. You never get to collect your money, whereas if you just take what you got now, which is a reasonable number, you can go out and enjoy the rest of your life. This is easy.
And these two can't be any more than 20 or 30 pages on our side that we filed?
Yeah, what do you got there? 50 or 60 pages?
No, that's 2 or 3 pages.
Oh, okay. Now, when you take...
Is it 20 or 30 so I know what the number is on our side when we file it? The maximum they can...
Oh, it's 20. District court is 20 pages. But you won't use... You won't get one... I've done only... Let's see, I did 1 3-page cause of action, and I did... Well, there's 28 people in that one. That's dead right into 4 pages for cause of action.
The one we have is 21 pages, and 23 pages.
Of causes of action? How much conclusionary law did you put into it?
None.
You mean it said without due process of law, or did you just simply put 2 spaces between each sentence?
2 spaces.
Between each sentence. That's, you know, consolidated. It's common law case. Put it in one, you know, single space. It's common law. You can put your definitions in common law. You can put your cause of action in common law. The only thing they want in double space is when you get into your colorful explanation of facts.
But there's not something
you
can take out
though,
like that.
No, you're still... The right to grievance is protected under the First Amendment.
Right.
Freedom of press or freedom of speech is protected.
Miranda versus Arizona said that when it comes to constitutional...
Violations,
there can be no rule or lawmaking to advocate.
Okay, so do a single space and keep your paperwork thin. You know, we got enough trees cut down in the world already. We're running out of oxygen. And if anybody says something to you, hey, you know what? State of Wisconsin, 7th District, threw out colored paper as a backing because the argument was brought by Greenpeace before the 7th District saying, we got enough trees. You know, we're cutting our trees down for stupidity because you want to like make it. How do you prove will? In other words, the criminal intent of the individual. Like I was saying before, what happens to this pen when I drop it, gravity is relevant. The specific action will take place when I release it. But if I move this thing in an unnatural manner, it will then become the will of the individual. Now, in your document there, you have the maritime of international law, and it says freedom from proof, freedom from negligence. And what that says is you're guilty until proven innocent. All right, the ship now is going down the river, or going under the bridge. An object in motion will remain in motion till set to rest by an opposing force. Goes back to mathematics, goes back to physics. Like I was explaining to you about metallurgy. You've got to go back to facts, physics, mathematics. All right. Ship is going straight. The only way it's going to hit that bridge is if an imposing force now becomes relevant. If the wind blows from the side, it is the intent that the force will cause it, and it's the act of God for the ship to hit the bridge. There is no negligence upon the officer of the ship between the captain. But if we have dead calm, an object moving forward will continue to move forward unless he steers the boat into the ship. Now, it's the will of his intent, by his direction, that causes the will to take place. The same thing is the flag that is in his office that he carries out. It is the will of his intent that moves that flag, because that flag is not going to move. It's a stationary object. So no matter where it goes, he can just as easily pick up a Title IV USC 1 flag on a standard and bring it in there and set it down and have a common law court. So it was the will of his intent of the choice of what flag was going to be used to set down the jurisdiction.
Hypothetical.
Throw it.
Contract law. Okay. The guy contract, say it's with warehouse. To log timber.
Okay.
Contract says it's 10% interest. Mother Nature comes in and wipes out 3 miles of highway, can't do nothing for 5 months.
Okay.
Is that interest still relevant on that month?
Sure. You know, airlift it out like a helicopter, or float it out, or take it out a different way. But if you were smart and you have contracts, you would have made provisions for that.
Well,
if a person is negligent of making provisions, then that's their own fault, because they don't have foresight.
Well, we did make a provision, and we brought that provision to warehouses' attention. Warehouses said, so what, we're in charge of the interest anyway.
Then you have contention. You can handle
it. Now you're moving against the moving vessel. Don't forget, we are made of water. We are vessels. Anything that has the power to control itself is called a vessel. Automobile, it moves. We're moving. This table is a stationary. It's not a vessel until it has a force applied to it. Then it becomes a vessel. Anything that is initiated by force qualifies as a vessel. And I don't care what it is. This little pen here is a vessel. The minute I throw it at somebody, it's got force behind it, it's got inertia, it becomes a vessel. As long as it sits here on the table all by itself and does nothing. Then it falls under the classification. Here is what you do when you stay in one place too long. That's a joke. You got to think about that. So. Oh, yeah. Okay, I got the list for the books that I want to send out for you guys. And put your thing on pause there for a second. Regulations are relevant because the judge brought in a equity flag or a military flag. The gold fringe around a Title IV USC 1 flag is used for parades in the military. That's why it's covered under Army regulations. The judge was the one that made a determination that the sanctuary of the bar was to be under military jurisdiction. Therefore, we are using the military regulations to first establish what it is that he has done and then capture the flag because we've got jurisdiction over the military under Title IV USC 1 because it's be held in the highest order over all foreign flags. Henceforth, we captured the flag properly. And that's one of the secrets because they pulled every Army regulation off of the shelves, out of the libraries, so that the people would never know what it meant, where it came from. And by putting it back into the paperwork here and educating people, now they have the vehicle for what had happened. The next question was, why is the paperwork all printed in uppercase? Well, in May of 1995, my typewriter did not have, I only had an 8086, and I had a broken shift key. So, this is the truth. I only could type in uppercase. So I typed the whole document out because I was pressed for time. But I did have enough sense to take and push each key up in lowercase and then tap it to type out the lowercase name. So then I submitted it, and then James McDermott, the Attorney General of Wisconsin, got it, and we went to court. While we're in court there, Judge Moser gets up there and he says, "Oh, Mr. Miller," he says, "so your case is all uppercase." He says, "That's very interesting." He says, "but," and I says, "I'll forgive that because you're a pro se." I says, "I refuse that statement for fraud, Your Honor." Whatever, he says. He says, "but Mr. McDermott," he says, "how come you put everything in uppercase and I'm the Gary?" He says, "well, we've never seen one of these cases before, Your Honor, and frankly, we didn't know what to do, so we copied them." Judge about fell off the bench on that one. He says, "just for the record, everybody," he says, "uppercase means you shout. Okay, it means you have to answer. If I put 10 points down in all uppercase questions, they have to answer all 10 all questions. If I write them in lowercase, they can ignore it." And you know what? Because we're working with a procedure. The procedure is relevant here because it has to be answered every single one. You take any one of them out, it doesn't mean anything. It loses its effectiveness. So, of course, we want to shout and make the demand so that the procedure is enforced. Now, one of the things that I keep telling everybody is that people are lazy. They don't like to, they like to minimize the work before them. The mind is a complex machine that the reason for thinking is to abolish thinking. Hey, it's a fact. You guys are lazy. Everybody is. The only reason you think up something is so you don't have to do something else. Make your life easier. And I'll show you. Now, I want everybody here, I want all you guys to answer out loud. This is a real simple spelling test. I want you to spell top.
Spell which?
Top. All together. Top. Spell hop. Spell pop. Spell crop. Spell truck. Spell shop. What do you do when you come to green light? See, you put one side of your brain to sleep because one side of your brain produces thought and the other one analyzes thought. So I lowered through rhythm, pattern association of rhythm, lowered one side of your brain to sleep. So when it came time to actually do a thinking and answer a question, the first thing, everyone here said stop. I mean, you went for the S when I asked you what to come to a green light. Every one of you said started to go after an S. But then you stopped and said, wait a minute, this is a question, not an answer.
Well, this is the first question. Everyone goes to the green light and get caught.
Well, you can't go through a green light. You can. Yeah, there you go. There's your defense, okay?
That's great.
Thanks. Yeah. Oh, did I tell that on tape? Okay, now everybody's got it. Alright. Well, of course, they all answered that way. Just because they asked it slowly doesn't mean they didn't answer. Alright. Everybody knows what our United States looks like here, right? Remember Gus Ice up here?